Welcome to Ugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. It's June 22nd. This is Brad Culp. I've got Sam Grass in the studio here with me this morning, and I'm going to give Sam a little test this morning. Sam, could you introduce our producer, please?
Tick-tock.
Lee, what's your last name?
I forget.
That's a little joke that they're giving me a hard time, as usual.
And perhaps without looking at the card in front of you, you can remember the name of our guest.
Lorna Armstrong.
See that?
Boy, I tell you, this is starting off real well this morning.
Having missed last week, I missed the opportunity to beat you over the head a little bit. In Dallas this morning, we have Kevin Ritz, and with Kevin this morning is Armand Christopher, who is a senior real estate specialist. Good morning, gentlemen. I'm going to toss it your way, Kevin.
Good morning. Thanks, Brad. As you mentioned, I have Armand Christopher with me here in Dallas. Armand, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's go ahead and get started by having you give us a little bit of your background, where you're from originally, and what brought you to Dallas and into the senior real estate market.
I'm originally from Chicago, Illinois. I moved to Dallas in 1975 with a company, and always been interested in real estate. When I arrived here in 75, I immediately went and got a real estate license and pursued another interest until recently, which was about 2000, decided to get into real estate full time.
Well, great. We were talking a little bit before the show about some of the unique challenges or the unique situations with the senior real estate market. Can you talk a little bit about what differentiates that?
Okay. When I started in the real estate business in 2001, there was a special designation called a Seniors Real Estate Specialist. It's owned by the National Association of Realtors. I became interested in this so much that they've invited me to become on the board for the National Association of Realtors for the senior designation. I was awarded a Realtor of the Year in 2010. Anytime media calls the national organization, they refer them to me. I've been featured in Dallas Morning News, Kiplinger Magazine, Forbes, CNN, Consumer Reports. So I'm pretty much basically a professional expert in the senior market in seniors real estate. Okay, the difference between what I do, what the senior specialist does, is we understand the senior client, the 55-plus client. It's a totally different approach than you would with a normal, typical real estate client. For example, a lot of times it's not a pleasurable experience. They're having to move to either assisted living, skilled nursing, memory care. One member has to sell the house because of financing. So there's a lot of family dynamics that we deal with as a senior specialist.
Well, great. You talked a little bit about a story that kind of popped up where there was a son who wasn't as involved with his father. Can you tell that story in as few words as possible, just to kind of give people an idea of what kind of that unique situation might arise and how you help deal with that?
A good friend of mine he lives in Hawaii, has a business there. He was estranged from his dad for 12 years. He got a phone call from the coroner saying that his father had passed and he had found his name, that he had to deal with his father's situation. Well, he had no idea what to do. Came to Dallas, and I watched him go through the entire process from the funeral home to going to the house to disposing the goods to selling the property to deciding on what needs to be done. Well, what a senior specialist does is they understand all the different scenarios, and we work as a team. The whole concept is to build a team of professionals to help with the transition process. For example, moving, packing, estate sale, finding the community or location that they're going to. So what we do is we provide a full service for the clients, basically project manage the entire process, as opposed to just selling a home, saying, see you later, goodbye, you deal with the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah, I can see how that would be extremely useful for seniors and their adult children who are having to go through a transition like that. You know, we hear a lot today about the challenging real estate market, but I imagine the senior market's a little bit different. And so in this challenging time, when somebody comes to you, what are some of the things you tell them to maybe ease their mind or help them?
Regarding the market?
Yeah, just regarding the market and selling that home.
Well, it is a challenge, and you know, a lot of times they feel like, well, the economy is bad. They're hearing the news. They're saying, we're not going to make that decision now. We're going to wait until the market comes back. And you have to educate them and let them know, look, how much time do you have to wait? How do you know? Why have somebody else make that decision for you? Why not go ahead and make that transition or sell that home and move to a community or a golf course community or downsize now when you can? And a lot of times they've been in homes that were there 30, 40 years. I advise them that they don't need to spend a lot in fixing it up, stage the home, get it prepared to sell. And depending upon the market area that they're in, they probably can sell their home because they do have 100% equity in their home, and it doesn't matter what the economy is. They may not get what they were expected to get in the past, but they will have some equity in it, and they can sell their property. So depending upon where they're located in their specific, you know, geographic location, depending upon what the market is in that particular area or subdivision, a realtor can figure out what their best interest is.
Yeah. I assume that being in this particular specialty, that there's no shortage of stories that you found have really touched you. Do you have any off the top of your head that might be good to share?
Sure, I do. I have a couple. The wife was beginning to have dementia, and the husband was an elder, a pastor, and it was time for them to make that transition. Well, it was very, very emotional for them to do this. So we found them a place to go to. It was a cottage in one of the CCRCs, which is a continuing care community. And as a gift for the client, at the closing table, I went to the city of Dallas and had the sign of the street name that she had lived on. She was born on that street.
Wow.
And so I had the street sign made for her to put at her new residence to make her feel comfortable.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that is always challenging with seniors is, you know, packing up a home that they've lived in for so long and being able to bring a slice of that to a new place is great.
We work with move managers, mm-hmm. Who go in there and would be able to help the client downsize. They'll work with them in explaining to them the process. So, like I say, it's a full service that the senior specialist does from start to finish to make it a smooth transition.
What would you say to somebody that came to you and said, you know, we really need to move mom and dad, but the prospect of everything needs to happen is overwhelming? How do you handle something like that where they just don't know where to start?
The best place to start is with a professional who can handhold them. Like I was saying, a move manager. What they'll do is they'll come in and they'll take the family and start basically in one room. They'll go ahead and decide what they're going to be taking, where they're moving to, and they'll give them the education of how to start, what to do, where to begin. So there is a process in this whole transition or whole relocation process that they need to do.
Yeah, and I imagine that something like this doesn't happen overnight. What's kind of, and it may be impossible to put a definitive time frame on it, but from start to finish, what can people expect from when they decide to make this decision to move to actually having it all
completed?
Yeah.
Well, then again, that depends on the age of the client, the condition of the client, depending upon if they're going to be in their house when it's being sold, whether they're going to be moving out into a community and then having us come in and do our magic, you know, while they're out of the property. So there's a lot of different factors to determine from start to finish. Typically what we like to do, and again, it depending upon the age of the client, if it's an elderly client who has a situation of dementia or assisted living at that age, it's best for them to move into the community and for us to let go and take care of everything. If it's a younger client, what we typically will do is stage the home, prepare it for sale. Once the home is under contract, then we would begin to go ahead and start the estate sale or downsizing, getting them to move. So again, it depends upon what their age is and what their physical condition is and start to finish. And the market, it depends on what the real estate market is.
Sure, yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces there that I imagine can be tough to predict. What do you find most rewarding about what you do?
Oh, what I find most rewarding is the satisfaction that the families get, the adult children, the senior client themselves. Once they make that move, their socialization is improved. Their longevity improves, believe it or not, because they have that socialization with other people, with the communities. And again, it depends on the age, but there are clients that just sit in the home, don't get any physical exercise, don't get any activity, don't see people, and it's not healthy for them. So the satisfaction that we receive is the pleasure of seeing this client, you know, in their new environment. The families are being relieved that it has been taken care of. And again, it doesn't matter if an adult children is out of state and the client is local. We still handle it all, and there's still a way of doing this where everybody is pleased.
Right. And you mentioned that the senior real estate specialist is a national designation.
Seniors real estate specialist.
Okay, great. Is there a place where people can go if they're not from Dallas and want to find one in their area?
Absolutely. You can go to the website, seniorsrealestatespecialist.com. It's owned by the National Association of Realtors. They could put in their zip code, and there'll be a list of senior specialists who are educated and understand the senior market as opposed to another realtor who just doesn't quite understand the market. You have to, it takes a special person. We're more like a social worker or a care manager than a realtor. Anyone could fill out forms. Anyone could understand the technicality of real estate. But having that passion and understanding what the situation is makes a total difference. I'll go in and look at family pictures for 2 hours just to build that relationship up with that client and understand what their conditions are. For example, are they able to sign a contract? Can they, you know, perform the responsibility to sell their home? Does the family member need to be involved? Who's the caretaker of that person? So there's a lot of dynamics. You've got to deal with elder law attorneys. You've got to deal with legal issues such as, wills and trusts and letters of testament. And I had a client who passed on me during the sale of her property, which put everything in hold. So there's so many things that need to be aware of, as opposed to just coming in, selling your home, see you later, goodbye.
Right. If you had a piece of advice to give to somebody who is, you know, facing the sale of their home, what would that piece of advice be?
First thing of all is they have to determine their timing and say to themselves, is this the best time for us to make that decision? Are we facing health issues? Why should we wait? Should we make that decision now as opposed to later? It's important that once they make that decision to just forget about what the economy is doing, forget about what the market is doing, because that isn't going to play into it down the road. I mean, you're making a decision for now. Your lifespan is shorter, plus the equity in your property that you've got is just sitting there anyway. You'd be better off taking whatever equity you have, putting it into an investment, even if it's 2%. It's 2% on that money that you're gaining. Plus, you've got overhead of lawn, insurance, taxes are increasing, property values, we don't know where they're going. So you have to make a sound decision on what your future is for that next step.
Right. Well, that's great. Armand, if our listeners wanted to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Best way would be to call me. Would be my number is area code 214-564-5800. It's my cell number. I keep it 24/7. If they need advice on where to begin and what to do and how to find a property or a community. There's a national company called A Place for Mom that I work with. They're counselors on finding. I have the resources for, and it doesn't matter where they're located, what city they're in, what state they're in. I could have the resources to provide them information.
And Armand, I think I may have neglected to get the name of your agency.
My company is Senior Living Realty.
Okay. All right. And I believe you have a website too.
Yes, seniorlivingrealty.com.
All right. Well, Armand, we really appreciate you coming in and spending the time with us today. Thank you. And we'll send it back to Sam and Brad there in Atlanta.
Thanks for the great information, Armand. We certainly appreciate you being a guest on our show today.
Thank you.
Joining me today in Atlanta, along with Brad and Lee Cantor, just so that everyone knows that I've got the
names right. Good
yeah,
job.
Thanks.
Now that they're written down in front of you.
I do what you got to do, people. All right, let's get on with the show. Joining me today is Lorna Armstrong. Lorna is the owner-operator of Armstrong Emergency Readiness. Good morning, Lorna. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great today. How are you, Sam?
Well, besides taking the brow beating that I am taking, I'm doing great.
You've handled it very well.
I'm a good sport, contrary to what these two guys think. Let's get on with your topic and your show and bring some attention to you. Tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, how did you start to this company, and what does it do?
Well, I'm originally from Southern California area near Northridge, and I was at the epicenter of a 7.0 earthquake in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
Following that, we had no power, no gas, no water, no phones for several days. So even though I came from a region of the country that was prepared for emergencies, that really tests your preparedness when you have no basic services whatsoever for several days. Following that event, I joined a volunteer organization within the fire department called CERT. It's the Community Emergency Response Team. And the fire department trains this group of people to come out and help them do search and rescue, emergency medical operations, and small fire suppression in homes.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been a member of that group since 1994. When I moved to Atlanta in 98, I joined the Community Emergency Response Team in Alpharetta area. So that's what got me started. I spent 25 years in the corporate world. I've been out speaking on emergency preparedness for several years, but I decided to do this full-time 2 years ago, and I'm absolutely loving being out in the community.
That's great. Tell us about what it is that you do. It's very simple.
I go out and I speak in the community on emergency preparedness. I help people prepare for home fires, for tornadoes, ice storms, earthquakes, you know, whatever happens to be common in that region. So I'm out helping people prepare kits, make plans, and be better prepared to take care of their family should a disaster or an emergency strike.
And what are some of the things that you are advising people to do in the event of these emergencies?
First of all, when there's a disaster of a medium to large scale, people always think that they're going to be able to call 911 and get immediate response. Well, our first responders do the best they can, but when they have a widespread disaster, they can't get to everybody as quickly as they would like to. So It's the responsibility of every family to be able to take care of themselves for at least 3 days, just in case your first responders can't get to you. So in order to do that, you need to have a kit, an emergency kit for your family, and you need to have a plan in place to either shelter in place, if that's safest for you, in your own home or whatever building you're in, or to evacuate if that's necessary.
And how do I'm trying to think of how I would respond to what you're saying. Where do I begin?
What would be an example of a common thing here in Atlanta that people would have to deal with, and what would be a typical response?
Let's talk about the recent ice storm that we had here in January.
Right.
Okay. Everybody knew it was coming. This is a rare thing. Usually for a disaster, you don't have a week's warning.
Right.
They happen when they happen. During that ice storm, we had at least a week's notice.
Right. What were you doing?
A lot of people ignored
that.
What
were you doing, Lorna?
During that time, I was excited.
Because you're the pro. I want to do whatever you're doing.
I went out. I had a week's worth of food in my house. I had a week's worth of water. I had enough dog food and things like that to take care of my pets. I had extra food for my neighbors because I assumed that not everybody was going to be as prepared. I had ice melt in my garage, so that I could go out and melt the ice, because we know that in Atlanta, we don't get snow, we get ice.
Right.
There are a lot of things. I mean,
How did you deal with the water part? Because a week's worth of water is not a lot of water?
Yes, it is. It's a lot of water. I mean, I went out and bought, several 2.5-gallon jugs of water from the grocery store. I put dates on them so I would know when to rotate those. And
what's a rule of thumb for water? How much per day?
3 gallons per person per day. So for a week's worth of water, yeah, you're right,
and
Lee, that's a lot of
that's
water.
That's for consumption, right?
That's for consumption as well as for, washing hands and things of that nature, a little bit for cooking. Right. So,
now, are you getting your gas grill ready, in case you have to be in control of that aspect of it?
Absolutely. I have a propane grill at home. I used to have a natural gas grill, but I realized that when the
gas
you have no gas, you have no way to cook, so... when you have no power, no gas, no water, no phone, you pretty much rely on propane.
And so, a lot of times the individual who doesn't think about this ahead of time is just kind of figuring that out on the fly. And that's probably not the best time to realize that you don't have a way to cook, right, when the disaster strikes.
Exactly, because if you don't have the food and you don't have everything you need in place, you may not be able to get those supplies. For example, after an earthquake, there are no supplies because all the stores are closed. There's no power. There's no way to use a credit card at a store, even if the store were open. During our ice storm that we had, people had no way to get out. In my particular neighborhood, if you had a four-wheel drive and you lived at the top of the hill, you might be able to get out a couple days after the ice storm. But some of us were trapped for 5 days. Because we live at the bottom of a steep hill.
Right. And I want to expand on some of us left our families stranded during that, and was at band practice and couldn't get out from band practice. Who was that?
We don't want to name names.
It wasn't me. I don't play in a band.
And that was actually a case where the house was at the end of a cul-de-sac at the bottom of a hill, and there was nothing that could be done. The vehicles could not get out.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, what about a tornado where you don't know where that's going to hit? And if it hits you, it's devastating. But, a block away, they could be perfectly fine. How do you prepare for something that's so random?
Absolutely. I mean, preparing for emergencies is actually a lot easier than people think. Once you have your emergency kit and your plan together, it works for just about all emergencies. So let's say that there's... I'm going to break the emergencies into two classifications.
Okay.
There's those where you're going to shelter in place or stay home.
Right.
Okay? That would be, for example, a tornado or an ice storm. For that, we talked a little bit about that. We talked about the fact that you need your food and your water there. You need your first aid kit.
Right.
You need, in a tornado specifically, you need a safe place to go. You need your safe room that's already designed and ready to go. Maybe it's your basement if you have a basement. If you don't have a basement, it's the interior part of your house. If it's a home fire, obviously sheltering in place is not an option here. You have to be able to evacuate and evacuate quickly. So your emergency kit has to be packed, ready to go, something that you can grab and run out the door. think about the things ahead of time that you'd like to have in that kit. It might be, if for seniors specifically, if you're on medications, you want to have medications in your emergency kit, at least 4 or 5 days worth of medications. During the tornadoes that we had recently in Joplin, Missouri, you looked at that devastation. Those people lost their homes. They lost everything except what they had with them. When I'm in my basement during a tornado, I have a backpack that has all of my emergency gear in it, backup of my laptop computer, medications, all of that, any backpack on my back. So if my house goes down, at least I know that I've got everything I need right there with me. In addition to that, the other classification is, you know, what we talked about, the in-home sheltering in place. You also have to be ready to evacuate. If there's a flood or a fire, you have to be able to get out quickly. What else do you need to have in that backpack that you need to take out of your house with you? Medications, maybe a spare set of eyeglasses,
but what about, like, important documents. Backup cell phone battery.
That's a great idea. If you have a family member who's in a wheelchair,
right,
you might want a backup battery for your wheelchair as well. You might want to have a list of doctors and diagnoses so that if you have to go to a different city or a different county for medical care, that you have everything that you need to get medical care. Copies of your prescriptions, things of that nature that you need to have with you that may not be easy to get. I mean, you can easily replace, you know, your social security card and your driver's license and things like that. You know, the FEMA will help you get all that taken care of. So you just need to think about those kinds of things. And that's what I do. I go out and I work with families, and I help them put together a kit that's specific for their family, and also to put together a plan to address, you know, how to evacuate or where they're going to evacuate to. Do you have any special needs that need to be addressed? Do you have, if you're a senior living alone, do you have transportation in an emergency? If there's a tornado in your neighborhood, do you have somebody assigned to come and pick you up or to come and check on you to make sure that you're okay?
There, in the state of Texas, there's an emergency management registry for seniors.
Yes.
And I think the state of Florida has this as well. Does Georgia have anything like that?
Georgia does have that, and that's a really important thing that you bring up, Brad, because that emergency registry, if you have, there's two types of shelters. There's what they call general use or general purpose shelters, which is, you know, for the majority of the population. If you're a person who has special medical needs, enhanced medical needs, for example, if you rely on electricity, if you need oxygen, maybe you need refrigeration for specific medications, those kinds of things are generally not handled at the general use shelters. You may have to, you know, sign into a registry in order to get access into these special needs shelters. So it's important to know if there are special needs shelters in your community and if and where they will be.
I as you develop this the conversation, I see that the needs of a senior or a caregiver in the event of an emergency are vastly different than someone of my physical and age. And so what do you, how do you approach that group? How do you approach the seniors and the caregivers of those seniors as far as getting ready?
Well, it's just running through the same scenarios, but you just have more complicated things to think about. Like we talked about the medications, we talked about transportation. We have a lot of seniors in the state of Georgia who are living on their own, and they have to have transportation. Let's say that they needed to go to a shelter. Let's say their home flooded, and they needed to go to a shelter. If you're going to a general use shelter, there is no state or local transportation to come that's assigned to come and pick you up. If you are part of the registry we just talked about and you need to go to a special needs shelter, then you can get transportation from your home to that shelter. So there's a lot of things to think about. You need to think about, if you go to a general use shelter, do they have the bedding that you need? Do they have the ability there to transfer you? If you're in a wheelchair, do they have people who can help safely transfer you from your wheelchair to a bed so you're not in your wheelchair 24/7? Do they have trained nursing care there if you need that kind of thing?
Do you have any information about how a senior can sign up for one of these emergency, you know, special needs shelters?
I didn't bring that with me, but I do have that posted on my website, so we can get that information
out to
everybody.
So if they go to your website, they can find that, right?
Right, right.
As we talk, I kind of am overwhelmed personally about, well, it seems to me that I need to keep an ongoing box or suitcase or backpack or whatever it may be, but it's not a situation that I address one time. I have to update this item every month. I mean, or however, and especially if I'm concerned, I'm a senior and I'm concerned about medications. This is something that's got to be addressed virtually on a daily basis, and it would overwhelm me. Okay.
Lorna, how do you address that? Does it have to be every month, like he's saying, or is it quarterly, annually?
Well, I think for the average family, unless you have special needs, I recommend looking at your kit twice a year, every 6 months, just to go back and, you know, refresh the batteries that are in it. Refresh water if you need to. You know, make sure that there's no other special needs that have changed in your family.
So water spoils?
It does. The water that's in a plastic bottle that you get or a plastic container at the grocery store can have BPA chemicals in it, depending on the type of plastic that was used. Mm. So typically, the recommendation is that you rotate those out every 6 months. So when I buy one from the grocery store, I put a date on it. 6 months later, I save it. I don't throw them away, because that water can still be used in an emergency to flush a toilet, for example. So it's still useful. You just don't want to use it for drinking or cooking.
Right.
Or would, you know, perhaps you pull it out and just use it.
Yeah, you know, prior to the six months.
If you use bottled water to drink.
Absolutely. And rotate it that way.
One other thing I wanted to go back to, you talked about the idea of, you know, if there's no electricity, there's no way to use a credit card. So do you also recommend to families that they keep some cash? And if so,
or
how much?
Gold bars.
Gold bars. They might be a little heavy to carry around, Lee.
If it's too heavy to carry, you have more money than you need.
I do recommend a small amount of cash, because in an emergency, if the power is out, you can't use a credit card or a debit card. So that is one of the things I recommend people keep in their emergency kits.
Are we talking $100 or $500?
I think it's going to depend on the size of your family. I think for a small family, a couple hundred dollars is fine, but if you have a larger family, you may have more expenses.
Okay.
For the seniors that, again, I want to go back to them, that are really, really overwhelmed by the idea of another thing to do, is there a means that you could come out and assist with as they walk through this process?
Absolutely. I do in-home consulting with families, with seniors. I'll go out and help them put together an emergency kit. I'll actually help them put together an emergency plan. We'll go through practice fire drills to make sure that should there be a fire in their home, they have multiple exits and they know how to safely exit and what the best exits are for them.
And you mentioned, while we were off air, you mentioned a situation with a caregiver, which Brad and I clearly gravitate towards. What should the caregivers be aware of in the event of a huge or large disaster, or the event of a house fire, as you described earlier?
Just like I would recommend for any family, I think it's equally, or if not more so, important for caregivers to have an emergency kit and to have an evacuation plan and a shelter-in-place plan. Because when you're with your client, you know, for example, during the ice storm, if there was a caregiver in a home, you may be trapped there for several days. Are you prepared to take care of that individual and yourself for that period of time?
That's exactly what we experienced during the ice storm. We had caregivers that could not get to the client for obvious reasons, but then we had caregivers who were there and were stuck for 3 or 4 days.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't leave, they couldn't travel.
Right.
Exactly, and that's really important.
In terms of, you were talking about looking at the kit twice a year. For a senior, the basics of the kit probably would be the same, but when you're talking about medications, you know, pills, you know, they're probably good for a year or more. But if you're talking about refrigerated medication like diabetes, insulin, or morphine or something like that, do you have any knowledge about how often that should be refreshed?
With that specific medication, I would have to check on that one because I haven't worked with those specific medications other than making sure that there's refrigeration available in special needs shelters. But with medications, one of the things that seniors can do to make it easier is a lot of seniors are on 90-day prescriptions. Mm-hmm. What you can do is take the last 5 days of that 90-day prescription, put that in your emergency kit. When you finish your regular prescription, you use the 5 days that are in your emergency kit and then refresh that with your new 90-day refill.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So it's not a monthly.
Now, how do you work with like a family member who maybe their elderly family member is here in town, but they live outside of here? Is there any type of thing that they can do to help be in the loop of this preparedness?
Absolutely. The communication plan in an emergency is critical. So if you have an emergency, it's actually best to have an out-of-state contact that you're going to contact, let's say after there are tornadoes that go through, to call that family member and say, I'm okay.
Right.
That's a really important call because a lot of times the local phone lines are down. The out-of-state phone lines, the long-distance phone lines or cell phones, you'll have a better chance of being able to make a call on those than on local.
Great.
For our listening audience that is intrigued by this, which I am, where do we begin? What piece of advice could you give us as a point of reference to begin this process?
I'm going to start out with the motto from my company, which is be prepared, not scared. Don't leave your safety to chance. I talk to a lot of people who think that disasters happen other places, but they never happen to me. And unfortunately, when you look at places like Los Angeles and, you know, the Midwest where they have a lot of tornadoes, people that live in those regions are very well prepared for the most part. When you look in a place like Georgia where we have very few disasters, unfortunately, most people are unaware and unprepared. And that's what makes the disaster even worse, because it will significantly increase the death toll and the injury toll. So my advice to people would be to, you know, not leave your safety to chance and to take action today.
Yeah, that's great. I don't think I've ever lived in an area where I had to think this through. But with recent developments here in Atlanta, I want to. You were talking about natural gas, and I'm sitting here going, well, natural gas never goes out. Well, it does in an earthquake,
that's
doesn't
right.
it?
That's right.
It does.
Yeah. Well, that's great. We really appreciate you being with us, Lorna. That's great information. I'm sorry to have to cut you short, but we'll do this again. And I know we were talking off the air about having you back on the show sometime around September. Tell us a little bit about what we're going to try to do there.
Well, in September is National Emergency Preparedness Month. So we thought we would do a short segment again and help people put together what should go into your emergency backpack or your emergency kit and help them to get prepared. Give them that first step.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we thank you for being our guest. Great job.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And for those that would want to contact you, give us your contact information.
Phone number is area code 404-952-0647. And website is www.armstronger.com.
And that's all connected, one word, right?
It is.
Stronger?
It is.
Right.
Goodly. Thanks.
Just trying to be clear.
Okay. Well, we appreciate it, Lorna. Once again, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Sam.
That's it for today, ladies and gentlemen. We certainly thank once again Lorna and Armand for being our guests today. We thank our listeners for tuning in and want to remind them that if they wish to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do that at eugeriaradio.com. And in closing, as we always do, if the youth of this nation is its greatest natural resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Boy, did I mess that one up, but that's okay. Thank you. Have a great day.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.